KJ4CTD, W4DJW. Doing good. On drugs. Right before I go out to the dentist, taking one of two, got to take another one in 15 minutes, and then I got to go to the dentist. Hopefully I won't be feeling any pain when I go there. How are you?
Good. Well, I thought you were, like, really sick there for a minute, but maybe you just have problems with a dentist like I do. doing all right. Heading to Clemson. Got to check on some stuff.
You say Clemson? You're going to Clemson to check on some stuff?
My renovation project.
Is it on campus or is it just somewhere in the town?
In town. It's just north of the campus.
Okay. Well, how's everything going? Everything else otherwise? How's your ham radio hobby going?
Oh, I'm not quite Rare DX on the repeater anymore. But, you know, the HF stuff is not going at the moment because I just have through-wall mounting issues at the moment. I used to have a window mount for all my through connections, and now I don't have a window anymore for the office that I made upstairs. So I got to figure out how to get coaxial out the wall.
That's what I was going to say, through the wall and then through the floor and then down the other wall and out the door. I think, what's his name? Jim Milton. Did you see how Jim Milton did that at his house?
But, you know, I have I wasn't quite ready for the sheetrockers when they were messing with my main floor. And they plastered all of my Ethernet cables into the wall. And I need to fix that and then probably just go right out that wall would probably be the best because I only got to go down, you know, 4 or 5 feet and then right out the side. And that I can do. It's just taking the time and cutting my walls back open.
Yeah, the taking the time is the hard part for me. I've got other things that are in focus. Now, I got those micro sensors in. The clock generator and the digital time sensor, they came in, and they did give me a library, but they gave me the user library, not the low-level driver library. So I'm trying to figure out the low-level driver. What register do I write what value to, and then what register do I read from? That's in their driver. That's not in their user lib, so... You can buy their compiler and for $1,000. I don't want to do that. I want to stay away from that if I can.
Using the FPGA to do that, huh?
A field programmable gate array? No, these are low level click boards. They're not field programmable gate arrays. They just use like I2C or SPI, RS-232, that kind of stuff to. Different ways of communicating to each one of the little sensor driver things. It's kind of like an Arduino without the, if you think about their compiler, they're kind of like trying to do the next generation Arduino, and I want to skip their compiler and just go straight to the hardware.
Okay, well, take, borrow, and steal, maybe?
You mess around with stuff like that, don't you, from time to time?
My lithium battery does have RS-485 communication into the battery, and, you know, there's some bit banging to be done, and it's actually using Modbus RTU. But, thankfully, the manufacturer does provide the registers.
And what transport protocol does it use? I2C?
Cord is using, but the data connection is an RS-485. That's the physical connection. Then it's using Modbus RTU for the actual protocol.
Okay, so that's a higher level. That's not such a low level, but probably very robust too, and probably pretty fast, right?
I think it's actually set for 9600 baud. But don't quote me on that. So, but, you know, I mean, you're just asking for registers and getting something back. but, you know, once the battery, it's not like I can crack it open and actually get to whatever they're actually using. Solar controller's different, but, again, it uses RS-232 with Modbus. So, you know, that generally speaking, that seems to be the standard for industrial stuff.
Can you read each individual cell voltage?
I can, yes.
Well, that's nice. That's really nice. I was going to use one of those 3008 analog-to-digital converters, but how you get... Here's the thing. I started doing that one time, and here's the deal. When you connect them to the chip, I think it's a MC3008 chip. When you connect the legs from each cell to one of the eight digital-to-analog converters, and then you do your scaling, each individual leg that gets connected affects the other legs. The reading changes as you connect legs. I couldn't figure out what was going on. So I disconnected all the legs and I read one. And then I disconnected the second leg. And then I went back and read the first one and it was different. Voltage will drop over time, but it wasn't enough time went by. So I don't know how they get around that. That's why I got that Pi board. Remember that one that I told you about? And I think you went out and got one, the Pi 2 board that had all the relays on it. And physically disconnected from each individual cell to measure from cell to cell. That's the only thing I could find that actually worked.
Actually, a way around that, and I'm forgetting, totally just, it's mind blank on what that's actually called, parasitic something or other. Can't remember. But there is actually a way around it. But, you know, hey, relay works.
Well, whatever it's called, it was real, because I could not get good readings. The more I connected, the more differences I got in readings. And you know, you need to know absolute down to two places past the decimal if you're going to keep those, you know, to maximize the life of the cell. Because one cell starts dragging, you got to let the you got to give it time to catch up, because you get too big a gap and it's all over with. W4DJW.
Well, you know, all the new lithium iron batteries, they all have the battery management system built into them. So technically speaking, I'm reading from that, and it's doing all the data collection. But I, you know, I really do like these people. It's who are they? Renology. I have a solar controller and a 100 amp hour battery from them, and four solar panels, because this is, I've been working on. I've taken a page out of your book. I'm working on a system for my brother's cabin and, you know, exercising the snot out of it and getting full load on it and testing it summer and winter.
Well, I think most of the batteries are going that way that you were describing, where it's built in, like the DJI batteries. Although they're only two cells, battery management is in the battery. So they call them smart batteries. So then they charge you a whole bunch more for a smart battery than regular batteries. But that way you've got to have that intelligence in every single battery. That's the same way with the Ego, which has tens of batteries, like 10, 20, 30 batteries in it, the 56-volt Ego batteries. They've got a board built into those. I saw a video on a YouTube video of some guy fixing one time. And I got one that's bad. But I don't know which cell it would be or where you get cells to replace it. But that's what makes them so expensive. The intelligence is built into every set of batteries.
All you have to do is provide, you know, 14 volts DC to charge them. It doesn't matter where the 14 volts is coming from. It'll figure out how to charge it and which cell needs more and all that other good stuff. Versus having everybody buy a different controller.
Yeah, I guess that is an upside. Downside is they cost more. and you don't have control over how low they go. Well, I guess you do. I guess you can keep on drawing from them until it gets down to like 3.2 volts per cell. Can you do that?
I can set the warning on the battery. On the low voltage per cell and the low voltage for the whole battery. So, i.e., everything can get 3.1 or whatever, but they still have their absolute cutoff, and that is a read-only value.
that's the same way you can do an Ardu pilot when you're flying a plane. You can read all the individual cells. In fact, that free sky transmitter I've got has got multiple screens, and you can just slide, you swipe them from left to right. And one of the screen has all of the cells that's in your flight pack. You're down here on the ground, and you can read while you're flying every single cell voltage. But that's not the battery that's doing that. The battery does supply pins for every one of the cells. And how the flight pack or the autopilot figures out what the voltage of each one is, they must have a way to get around that parasitic thing. But it works. It works good. And you can see which battery is the lagger, which one's dragging the pack down the quickest.
All right. Well, it's not totally surprising. But, 100 amp hour lithium iron battery is $900. And just the special case, and the fact that my brother said, hey, I'll provide half the expense, that allowed me to buy it. But I still couldn't afford the 200 amp hour battery. And to be honest, I really need the 200 amp hour battery up there.
Well, that's not too bad, $100. I've got I guess that is. No, that's not. That is more expensive than one. I got a 900 amp hour battery, absorb glass mat. It's pretty small. Up there at batteries, bulbs, and plus. And it was $300. I guess it's absorb glass mat. I'm not sure. But heavy as it can be, but $300. But I guess if you got 100, then for $100, then that would be much more expensive per amp hour.
$100 for 100 amp hours. Make sure you got the numbers in the right order.
Yeah, that's expensive, $1,000. So you would have paid $1,000 for what I paid $300 for. Okay, I get it.
Lead acid variant battery. You get down to 50% and you basically lose voltage. On the lithium iron, you get down, it'll run for 90% of the battery before it shuts off.
So the curve goes a lot further out, but when it drops off like a rock, like going off the edge of a cliff, right? So you better know where the knee of the curve is, and you better get off of it before you get on the knee of the curve or you'll damage it.
We go into protect mode, which means it shuts off. It won't deliver power out the main terminals. So, you do have that, but that is also part of what I'm doing on my testing, and I'm sitting there, requesting information from the battery every 10 seconds, and it's reporting into a monitoring program for me.
So that limits what you can use it in. And I was watching a demo of a guy that was testing out the 250-gram multirotor, the newest one that DJI had. And he flew out a whole bunch of miles, and then he came back. And he was running out of battery. So you couldn't have a flying machine who, once it got to a certain point, just shut your battery off. He went ahead and sacrificed the battery to get the multirotor back. He knew he was way lower. He's like down into the 2.8 voltage range per cell. Once you go below 3, it's all over with for that battery. It's done. But he went ahead and flew it all the way till it landed like 100 feet from his foot, right? So he got his multirotor back, and he dropped the pack out of the back of it, and it was smoking. But and the battery was ruined, but he got it back safely at the cost of that battery pack.
I gotta warn you, I'm getting ready to go into my dark hole of no RL. So if I just completely disappear, well, sorry.
All right, well, it's time for me to take my second of two dope. So that when I go to the dentist office, I don't care what he does. So I'll let you go. Good talking to you, Wyatt. KJ4CTD, W4DJW. Clear.
It's the dentist. You have a good day. KJ4CTD, entering a hole.
Hi, WLO Mobile.
KO4ZEW, monitoring.